You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Michael Dobbs' 1989 novel House of Cards was adapted into a BBC TV series starring Ian Richardson as the Machiavellian chief whip Francis Urquhart, who engineers the downfall of the prime minister. It was shown in this country on PBS and has now been made into a critically acclaimed Netflix series starring Kevin Spacey. To mark the 25th anniversary of its publication, the novel has now been reissued by Source Books. I'm very pleased to welcome Lord Dobbs of Wiley to our show today to tell us about it. Hi.
Leonard, it's a great pleasure to be here.
Weren't you working as an advisor to Margaret Thatcher when you began writing this book?
I had just finished working for Margaret Thatcher. We had an awful bust-up. I regard her as being a great lady, but, you know, great people are usually very uncomfortable to be around. They're not warm and cuddly. And we had a huge bust-up, and I wrote House of Cards in a moment of pain and anguish a few weeks after her last election campaign.
Did you base your plot and characters on what you had been witnessing?
Oh, I based everything on what I'd lived through. I mean, but it didn't all happen. Look, House of Cards is hugely Machiavellian and wicked, and that's not the whole story of politics. It's a drama, not a documentary. I didn't set out to write an instruction manual, but a work of entertainment. And I've always said, and I think it's probably true, that 90% of what has gone into the book I'd seen or witnessed or been part of, but not all on the same day or from the same person.
And one would hope that the ending never occurred, but
well, I've never known
going to reveal what that is.
Well, without doing too much harm to anybody who's not ready, I've never known a prime minister who's actually murdered a journalist, but I know several prime ministers who've been sorely tempted.
Uh-huh. In an afterword, you wrote the novel as a form of therapy. Mm. Did you originally intend to not publish it, to just write it for yourself?
It was a complete accident. I mean, my life seems to have been peppered with accidents. It's not been planned at all. But I was being very rude about the a book that I was reading at the time on holiday, the first holiday that I'd had in 2.5 years from a break from politics.
We would call a vacation in this country.
A vacation, absolutely. And I was being so rude about this that my then wife turned around to me and she said, "Stop being so pompous. If you think you can do any better, for goodness sake, go and do it. But I haven't come on holiday to listen to you wittering on about this book." And so literally, I mean, I went down to the swimming pool with a pad and a pen and a bottle of wine just to see whether I could write something. I'd had no plans or anything, but it sort of changed my life.
Well, it's obviously not a matter of evening scores because you don't you don't talk about parties. Mm. We just talk about the party in power and the opposition party. Mm. So although your career has been with the Tories, this isn't necessarily a Labour or a Tory politician that you're writing about.
No, because it's not really about politics. It's about people. It's about people and characters and their vulnerabilities and strengths set against the backcloth of politics. And, you know, it's one of the richest and most colorful backcloths that you can find.
Francis Urquhart, the main character of the novel, is the chief whip. What would his equivalent be in the U.S. Congress? Would he be the majority whip in the House or the Senate?
Yes, exactly that. In the House, our Senate is the House of Lords, and that plays a less significant role, as much as a member of the House of Lords would want it to still be running the country. So he would be the majority whip in the House, and would be up to all sorts of wicked things.
Well, he's responsible for keeping track of all of his party's the members of parliament in his party, and as a consequence, he knows all their secrets. In real life, is this position really as intrusive as you make it out to be?
Oh, it can be. I mean, look, politics is rough and tough. It's not a place for choir boys or angels, and it really matters. It often messes up our lives, but it changes our lives. Politics, and so when it comes down to those crucial decisions, everything is thrown at it. It can be war, and so everything is fair in war.
Would he have any contact with you when you're sitting in the House of Lords?
Oh, not unless he wanted to. I mean, the House of Lords and the House of Commons is entirely separate. But, of course, there's a very big interrelationship between them, and you know, I know the current chief whip. I was delighted to be able to take him along to meet Kevin Spacey, and the two of them, the real one and the Netflix version, met, and it was a great fun to behold.
Do you think that the current whip does what Francis Urquhart does, calling MPs at their mistresses' homes?
You might say that. I'm not going to comment about that. But what I would say is this. I mean, politics does change over times. But we're fighting at times for things like national survival. And, yeah, tricks are played. And some of those tricks are pretty dirty. And I don't think that we should expect our politicians to be above that, because actually the greatest politicians can be some really rough, tough people.
Well, the prime minister in this novel, Henry Collingridge, is fairly lackluster type. His brother Charles is an alcoholic. Did you purposely make him very different from Margaret Thatcher?
Oh, yes, because it wasn't about Margaret Thatcher. It was about people in general, and you look back over time, and sometimes presidents and prime ministers are historic characters. Others sort of fade into the background because they may be very good at doing the number two job, for instance, but being out there on your own is an incredibly exposed position. Not everybody is always up to it.
You're vague about when these events are taking place, and you write that you have updated the novel for this 25th anniversary edition. In what way? You haven't added computers or anything?
No, not at all. But when I wrote it, it was a result of a challenge. I never intended to get it published. I had no expectation that I would finish it, let alone for that book to change my life. I've learned some tricks of the trade since then. I've been very lucky to be able to make a living as an author. And I just wanted to mark the new version, the Kevin Spacey version of House of Cards, by simply editing it slightly, making it a little fresher, but without changing anything that's fundamental.
You said that you wrote this book without ever having written a book before, but now you've written a lot. You wrote two follow-up books to Play the King and The Final Cut, which were also adapted into TV series by the BBC. Another dozen or so novels?
I've written 20 in all told, and including novels, for instance, about Winston Churchill.
And I understand that you've written a play about an encounter between Winston Churchill and Guy Burgess, the Soviet spy.
Oh, yeah, we're having a lot of fun with that. The original play appeared on television. It was written as a 30-minute television play, and it's available on my website for people to look at. And I'm now working on the full-length theatrical version, the two-hour version. I found it hugely exciting.
With Benedict Cumberbatch as Burgess?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I keep saying to him that I made his career. But I think actually his skill and his brilliance made his career. But it was fascinating because we got Benedict just before he became this great global star. And, it would be lovely to put it on stage with him in that same role.
Well, in this country, you are best known for House of Cards. What about in England?
Yeah, I think that's probably true, because House of Cards has been such an extraordinary phenomenon. As you were saying earlier, you know, it's been turned into huge television hits on both sides of the Atlantic. And it's still changing my life 27 years after I started writing it.
In the novel, we meet other assorted politicians and an ambitious young political reporter, Maddie Storin. Did you base them on people that you knew in British politics?
Yes, I did, but
did people
not
recognize themselves and say, Michael, what have you done to me?
Leonard, I'll let you into a little secret. I mean, people keep saying, did you upset politicians? Did you cut yourself off from politics? Well, it misunderstands the nature of politicians, all of whom love to be in the limelight. And the only people that I know I've upset by writing this book are those politicians who've come to me and said, that Francis Urquhart, that FU character, that was me really, wasn't it? And I have to turn around to them and say, no, it wasn't. They walk away crestfallen. And Matty Storin, the journalist, the Zoe Barnes character from the original version, I had this wonderful, I felt deeply in love with her as I was creating her, but actually I think it was more lust. And then when the beautiful Susanna Harker, who played her in the original television series, came into the room and I was introduced, I was absolutely a gibbering wreck.
Does your wife know about all of this?
Oh, yes. She's had to put up with a lot, poor thing.
Frances Urquhart's name has been Americanized to Frances Underwood, but it was important to keep the initials FU?
Yes. For reasons which I think your listeners will probably be able to work out for themselves. I mean, because it all started with those initials. I mentioned that I was sitting down beside a swimming pool with a bottle of wine and a notepad, going through this sort of moment of therapy. And by the time I'd finished the bottle of wine, I only had those two initials on the pad, and everything, Frances Urquhart, Frank Underwood, and his character, stemmed from that moment. I based my career on two initials.
Was it difficult to Americanize this? Because British politics is quite different than American politics.
It is, but again, it's not really about politics as such. It's about people in politics. And it's a bit, not that I'm comparing myself to William Shakespeare, but for instance, Shakespeare plays all the way around the world, and it's been playing that way for 400 years and will probably carry on being played. Because
there is a connection to Richard III here.
There is indeed, in the way that the Frank Underwood and Frances Urquhart addresses the audience directly, makes them complicit in the whole thing. But it really is about the ambitions, the vulnerabilities, the humanity of politicians, rather than the details of their policies, which really comes out in these things.
Frances is very ambitious, and when he isn't given the promotion he expected after the election, he puts into motion a plan to unseat the prime minister. Could that really happen? Is this a how-to book?
It happens all the time. I mean, I won't say this for presidents, although I understand that your president has come under a fair bit of criticism recently for all sorts of things. But in as a prime minister, you know that probably your happiest, most contented day is the day that you first become prime minister. And after that, for every week that you're there and every night that you're there, somebody is plotting to bring you down. And they will eventually succeed, because almost every prime minister we've had in the last 100 years has been brought low, including great prime ministers like Winston Churchill and Margaret Thatcher.
Frances Urquhart resorts to some pretty underhanded tactics in order to achieve his goal, including setting up dummy bank accounts to make it seem like the prime minister's alcoholic brother has engaged in insider training. He manipulates the press, and as we said, he even murders. I would think that would be the scope, be beyond the scope of even the nastiest politician, but maybe I'm wrong.
Politicians manipulate the press? Oh, goodness me, that's a shock. But no, all of that has happened and can happen, except I do not know of any prime minister who's actually personally murdered somebody.
It may turn out that there was one. My guest is Michael Dobbs, who is the author of the international bestseller House of Cards, the story that inspired the British, the BBC series, and then the Netflix series. And interestingly, both Ian Richardson and Kevin Spacey have played Richard III.
Mm. Mm. And Kevin, before he started on House of Cards, he conducted an extraordinary world tour of Richard III to great acclaim. And actually, if those who are interested in the art of acting, they should go on Kevin's website and see the documentary that he made about that world tour. It's fascinating.
I saw the production when it was at the Brooklyn Academy of Music, ending with him being tied up and held upside down. It's one of the more shocking images in theater.
It's pretty brutal, isn't it? And of course, very difficult to do. I mean, actors and acting and people like Kevin, they really suffer for their art.
Frances's signature line, "You might think that, but I couldn't possibly comment," has become one of the most widely quoted lines in modern fiction. Is that the way British politicians actually speak, or have they taken to using it now that you've made it popular?
That's interesting. I can't remember it being used before it appeared, but you know, I'm not sure I should tell you this, but even I was with the Prince of Wales a week or so ago, and he said, you know, I use that phrase too all the time. So it really has become a catchphrase that where politicians can let people know exactly what they mean without actually saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, politicians have a way of avoiding answering questions, sometimes with what I call parallel answers. Mm. They pick one word from your question and answer what they want to say about that word instead of answering your question.
Mm. It's a wonderful tack, which is why you should never ask a politician a complicated question, because it gives them too many opportunities to avoid it completely.
You've been an advisor to Margaret Thatcher, also to the two other conservative prime ministers,
John Major and David Cameron.
How do you advise them?
I had very specific jobs with Margaret Thatcher. I was her chief of staff, rather like Bob Haldeman, and I think they let him out of jail after several years of his sentence. I felt much the same way too. I mean, it's a tough job, but I was I did several specific jobs for John Major. And David Cameron, I'm a member of his party in the House of Lords, so one of my tasks is to try to help him achieve what it is his Conservative government is trying to achieve.
So he calls in certain people and asks them their opinions about things.
Absolutely, and recently one of his huge policy planks is that he wants to give the British people a vote on whether they should stay in the European Union or not. And when that bill went through the House of Lords, it failed, but it will succeed eventually. When that bill went through the House of Lords, that was my bill. I was in 3 months of pain and agony and rigor, and also great fun trying to push that bill through the House of Lords.
To keep Britain in the EU or take it out of the EU?
To let people decide their own futures. And that's what's so important about these issues. Politicians can, be pompous about this and say, but at the end of the day, it's the future of the people that matters, and they deserve some sort of say in deciding what that future is going to be.
That suggests that you're happy to see the Scots deciding on their future.
It's got to the point where they have to have a decision, and I shall be going back from here. I shall be going up to Scotland to campaign to try to persuade them that I want them to stay. I mean, we are a big family, and of course we can be a scrappy family, but I would feel devastated if Scotland left the United Kingdom.
Is there another novel in the works, or are you concentrating on writing plays these days?
There's always a novel in the works. I have four boys, young boys. Two of them are still at school, so I still have to earn a living. But I have to say that the plays and the television that I'm working on and the fun that I'm having with House of Cards and Kevin Spacey, which has been the most enjoyable professional experience that I've ever had, that's taking a lot of time at the moment.
Now we have this 25th anniversary edition of House of Cards just reissued. And as you say, you fixed it up a bit, tightened it up a little bit. My great thanks to you for coming on our show, Michael Dobbs. The book is available from Sourcebooks in a paperback edition.
Leonard, it's been a privilege to be here. Thank you.